You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, Larissa here from the Salon Owners Collective, and I'm really pleased to be in your ears today. Thank you for joining me. One of the problems that I see is that not enough salons are making profit. Even those that look awesome on Instagram, their salon looks great, and even the owners that are wearing designer clothes, they're not making enough profit, and it makes me sad. I too didn't have profit for the longest time in my business. And to be honest, I didn't know how to. And I actually really didn't realize that I could. When I started my salon, I was 20. I was 6 months out of my apprenticeship. And I remember my dad said to me, "How much do you want to earn, Larissa? Like, what is the goal here?" And I said, $30,000 a year. Yeah, that's my goal. That's heaps. And at 20, quite a few years ago, just saying, at 26 months out of my apprenticeship, that was heaps. That was like a big amount. I couldn't imagine more than that. I didn't know you could make more than that. I hadn't seen people or been around people that talked about money or made more than that. So that was my goal. And my business made a profit of $20,000 a year for the longest time. I got so sick of seeing that number at the bottom, $20,000. And for the longest time, I couldn't make ends meet, but I so loved being in business. You know, I really didn't notice the pain. I saw the number, but I didn't feel the pain of that until my team started to make more than me. I mean, at 20K a year, that's not hard, right? And that made me sad. That made me sad. It made me mad. But eventually it made me glad because it pushed me. It gave me fuel. It gave me fire to make profit king, to make profit a priority. And not to be greedy and to squander all this money while my minions worked hard for me. That wasn't the goal. That wasn't my position or my mindset. But I realized that I owed it to my team to be sustainable, to be profitable, so I could be here for them tomorrow. Because if I wasn't profitable, I wouldn't be able to open the doors tomorrow and they wouldn't have a job. I owed it to my clients who I'd promised to take care of them and take them on a hair transformational journey. I had clients booked in for months in advance. I owed it to them to have a sustainable, profitable business so I could be here for them tomorrow. I owed it to my brand. I'd established a brand in the marketplace and I owed it to the brand to be congruent and to be a profitable brand so I could be here tomorrow. I owed it to my family. This was actually before I had a family, but I owed it to my family's pride. I owed it to the people that had invested time and money in me to get me off the ground, for me to be profitable. And I owed it to myself. I worked hard. I worked long hours. I worked hard. I was focused. I was dedicated. I was driven. I was excited about my business and I deserved to make a profit. And I deserved to be here tomorrow to make my business sustainable. But how do we make profit king? How do we make profit a priority and feel good about it? It's funny, I set this intention to myself. I remember where I was, what day it was. I was sitting in my office of the business and I wrote on a sticky note, profit is king. And I still don't love that word, but it is the word that I came up with at the time. And it really was profit is priority. But for whatever reason, profit was king. And it really was a step forward to say, I'm going to prioritize this. This is important for all of those reasons. I need to make it the number one, and not because I'm greedy, but because the world needs me to make it a priority, myself included. So profit is a choice, and to prioritize it, we need to make that choice daily. So one of the things we need to do is to make profit a choice is to know your numbers and look at it daily and not bury our head in the sand. The only way that we're going to come away from looking at our numbers and them feeling painful, like if you have a physical reaction like, oh, I can't look. If you have that reaction, you owe it to yourself. The only reason you have that reaction is and the pain associated to it is because you don't know it. And when you don't know it or if there's not enough of it, money, profit, then it feels painful. So how do you do that? The first thing that you do is you learn about it. And how do you learn about something? You look at it and you read it and you examine it often. Because until you know what's not working, you don't know how to make it to work. So I challenge you to look at your numbers daily. Now, I often look at my numbers daily. It's not every single day, but at least weekly. A couple of times a week, I look in the bank account, and at least weekly, I pull up, I use zero, and I pull up the P&L report, and I look at it. Because I need to know where I'm at in any given moment, because if there are changes or challenges that are brewing ahead, I need to know about them now so I can pivot and I can change. If I've overspent somewhere, I need to know now so I can either ramp up sales or I can cut back costs somewhere else or send staff home early who are not productive, whatever it is. I need to be in the know. I need to have the knowledge to be able to know what actions to take. So that's the first thing. Know your numbers. Know your profit and loss. Don't hide from it. Even if you look at it to start with and you don't know what you're looking at, keep looking at it. Keep looking at it. Ask the questions. Get a good accountant and have a good relationship with your accountant. My accountant, he changed my life, really, because he was willing to talk to me at a level that I could understand and I could listen to him. And, you know, he talked to me with buckets of lollies that represented money and showed me how money flowed and moved. And I invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in him so I could learn the money story. Now, the other thing to think about is money needs a purpose and a destination. And Jessica Giles from Chic Money taught me this, and it's a lesson I've learned well. It needs a purpose and destination. And I remember a time when I didn't know what to do with money in the bank. And there were times in my business where I had a ton load of money in the bank. And it felt weird. It felt foreign to me. And I didn't know that you would have money in the bank. I know that sounds really random, but to have a lump sum of money in the bank, it needed to go somewhere. I'd never experienced it before. I didn't know what to do with it. And it wasn't until somebody told me that I should have lump sum of cash in my business 3 or 6 months operational costs just as a backstop. Oh, right. Now I have a goal with my money. That's my first goal, is to have a lump sum backstop. And it sits there and it waits in case sales dry up or a staff member leaves or whatever happens or there's a disaster, I have a pillow. Money needs a destination. So the other destinations are travel. What are priorities to me? What are your priorities? My lifestyle priority is to travel. I love to travel. And I would make any excuse, back in the day, I'd any excuse to go on a trip. I would find business trips all over the place, but that was a priority for me. So I have an automatic payment that goes into a travel account because I want to travel. So money needs a purpose, it needs a destination, and I siphon that off into a separate account. And I make sure I can do the things that I want to do because I want to do them. Money needs a purpose and a destination. And if it's sitting in your bank account, you've heard the expression burning a hole in your pocket. And I think money can burn a hole in your bank account too, because if it's sitting there without a destination, then you're likely to fall into the trap of shiny object syndrome, or you'll find reasons to spend that money. Because I think we can have a fear of money. And if it doesn't sit well with us and we're not used to having money, we can spend money like water flowing through our hands because we don't respect it and we don't have a purpose for it. So we buy the designer clothes and we buy the beautiful car and overextend ourselves and we don't budget at the supermarket. Now, that's one that I still choose to not want to budget. I want to be able to buy what I want when I want. But I have a set budget in my family household, and this is what comes into the house, and we can do anything with that. And outside of that, we save for travel, and we save for tax, and we save for all of those other things. And so I want to have freedom. I don't want to live on a budget, thank you very much, to the daily extent. Yes, I budget for the big things. So that's giving me freedom because I have the discipline to budget. Okay, before we get into discipline to budget, because I want to talk about that, I just want you to check in with yourself. How do you feel about people who are rich and profitable and have a lot of money? Because a lot of people grow up with the this mindset, if it's come from your family, especially if for generations they've come from tough times or generations that have come through war times, we can be frugal. We can say things like money doesn't grow on trees, or we have terms like the filthy rich. And if you're grown up in an environment that does not respect money or think people that are rich are rude and arrogant and they must have bought their way to the top or whatever those beliefs are, if you're still carrying those around, but you want to be successful in business, you need to get rid of them. So have a little think about that. And if you've ever got any mindset money issues, go and see Jessica Giles from Chic Money. She is the one who will sort out your mindset if you have money blocks. I see so many people with money blocks. They don't think they deserve to have money. They think they'll have social criticism for having lots of money. What would my parents say? What would my community say if I was rich and I live in a community of people that are struggling? I'd have to hide it from them. I don't feel good about buying a new car. Okay, so profit is a choice and profit needs a destination, and you need to sort your money mindset. Okay, let's talk about the discipline to budget, because I started going there. You know, when you have a discipline around a budget, you create freedom. And you know I'm all about creating freedom in all sorts of places in your life. The freedom to grow, have the time to grow your business, the freedom to invest time in with your family and be present with your family. And I think you need financial freedom. So you need discipline to create financial freedom. You need to learn to say no. You need to learn to say no to your team, number one. I totally get it. I had a most beautiful staff member who would always be telling me all the things that we needed. We needed new styling stations. We needed new towels. She was spending my money without realizing it. Like nobody's business. Please don't spend my money. And I finally took her. Actually, she was my 2IC, and I took her to my accountant. She came along the journey with me, and I needed her to do that because I didn't have the skill set to do it myself at the time, and to bring her in because she saw the money coming in and she was spending it on my behalf. All positive. There wasn't a negative bone in her body, but I couldn't afford these things. And so I needed to learn money so I could learn to say no. That's not on our agenda at the moment. No, that's not the direction of the company. No, I don't believe in saying, and I try not to do this with my family either. I don't believe in saying, no, we can't afford it, because what you afford is a choice. So I try to say, that's not something I'm choosing to invest in at the moment. That's not a priority right now. We might forward that for the future. Let's not do that this month. Let's do that when we've reached our targets, as a better way. So learn to say no to your team. Redirect them around all the demands that they want. Maybe you have a list of the things that you've prioritized and budgeted for, so you can work through them slowly in a priority. And then people feel like they're heard and that you're listening to them and that you want the best for them, but they know, your team want you to be smart around money. They want you to be disciplined because that gives them security. If they know that you're profit first and that you're making smart, educated decisions and you're disciplined around money, guess what? They feel secure because their job is secure, because you're not going to go broke tomorrow for not being smart. They want you to be smart. So show them how smart you are. Really think about the nice to haves versus the need to have. Now, in my Freedom and Profit program, one of the things that we work through is a lot of financial frameworks, breaking even versus budgeting, CEO dashboards. And one of the things that I discovered is that we have two break-even lines in our world, in our life, if we're not conscious about it. Well, we probably have one, but you need to have two. So your break even is your must have to open the doors, not your dream business. And I think too often we're making decisions because we have this dream and this vision about how our business should be. And we get the beautiful plants that fall down the wall, and we have the beautiful light fittings, and we want to serve people wine and fruit and foot massages, and we want this amazing experience because it's our dream. But hang on a minute, can our business afford to do this? If you're giving this luxury service and you're not taking home a wage, there's a problem here. So I get it. We want to have our dream business, but the business needs to support that. And you need to grow into that as your business grows and develops. You're on a journey here. This is, you know, you're not at your destination today. Maybe you are, but for the most of us, we're not. It's a journey. We're working towards this. So I want you to separate your dream business with the realities of today and where you are financially today. Know what your break even is to break even. Break even means I can open the door, I can pay my staff, and I can pay the rent, and I can have some products, like the bare minimum, and know the difference. Your ideal business is not, you're not necessarily there today. So you need to be conscientious so you can get there in the future. And make financial decisions that are based on what return you will get. Like, you've got to ask yourself, will I get a return for this? Will this impact my business? Will it move it forward? Or is it just a nice to have pretty trinket that is a shiny object that actually there's no return on this? If I put five bunches of flowers in my business, does that actually improve the service versus having one? Especially if you're not taking home a wage. So be aware of shiny object syndrome. If you want financial freedom, you need to be disciplined. And priority is profit is a choice. All right, two more key points. One is that you only have 100%. You only have 100% of everything that comes in the door. So everything that you do needs to equal 100%, because otherwise you have a problem. You're going backwards. If you spend 110%, then you're down. And I know it sounds a really obvious thing to think, but I want you to think about it in this way. You only have 100% of everything that comes in. And I want you to put profit first. So I want you to think about what it is that you want to earn. So let's just say if it's $100,000, you want to earn $100,000, then you need to work the other things around that. Your $100,000 might be 10% of your turnover, let's just say. So now you've got 10% to put towards profit. You have 90% left of your turnover to spend on wages, stock, rent, operations. So do the math. Last but not least, what is profit for you? And what is profit for a business owner? And I want you to get really clear on when you're an income generating employee, when you are servicing clients and generating incomes, whether you're on the floor, you're doing beauty clients, whatever it is that you're doing, you need to be paying yourself market rates, market value. Because if you don't pay yourself to do the income generating work, you might as well go and work for somebody else. It's a hell of a lot less stressful. Somebody else will pay you $20, $25, $30 an hour to cut hair, to do beauty services. But if you're doing it in your own business, your business needs to pay you. That's not profit. That's paying an employee. That's paying an income generating person. What about the manager? When you're a manager, does your business pay you to be the manager? If you employed a manager, would you pay a manager? Would a manager expect to be paid? Yes, they would. Now there's a third hat that you wear, and that's the CEO or the investor, because often they're the same. They're one and the same. But this part of you decided to open a business and invested in a business. You put up some money at the front end of your own pocket, or potentially the bank's pocket, and you put it forward to create this business. Now that person, because you've got multiple personalities as a business owner, don't you agree? I do. That person needs a return on their investment. First, they need their money back, plus they need, if you go and put your money in the bank, you get a measly 3% return here in New Zealand. But it's a return. It's something. You put your money in somewhere. Somebody else looks after it for you. You put your money into a business. You put it into the bank. Same, same, same. You need a return. Now, hopefully, you'll get more than 3% return. Like, you want to be getting 12, 13, 20% return, whatever that is for you. But you need a return. And that return is after it's paid its manager and its employee. So you need to think about profit differently. If you're paying yourself the same or less than employee and you're running your business for free. So I hope I've given you some thought today. Profit is a choice. You need discipline to budget and become financially free. You only have 100%. And profit is what the business owner gets after it's paid the employee and the manager. Okay, so I hope today was useful. I get so much feedback from salon owners like you who get a lot out of listening to this podcast. And of course, the guests that I chat with and sessions like today. So I would absolutely love it if you would leave a review on this podcast. The best way to have this podcast reach more salon owners like yourself who can learn from these great stories and these chats is, and to reach more people, is to leave a review, because it tells iTunes that more people love it and it pushes this podcast out to more salon owners. My goal is to impact and reach more owners directly. So if you're listening on your phone from iTunes, you scroll right down to the bottom past all the episodes and you can write a review or tap the stars. And I would love to hear the things that you are getting out of listening to this podcast. And that is a great way to feed that back to me. And of course, you can always come and join me in the Salon Owners Collective Facebook group. I hang out there often, would love to see you. And thanks. Thanks for tuning into this episode today of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. And I look forward to chatting with you again next week. Ciao for now.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.